That's what the sermon's all about, all right? The courage of Peter and John, the courage to preach the gospel and to be a witness of Christ, amen, in everything we do, everywhere we go. And so I got a story for you guys, and there was a man named Bobby Richardson who was on the New York Yankees. There he is. He was a professional baseball player. Some of you older ladies and gentlemen might remember him. He was a professional baseball player, and he was also an awesome witness for Christ. Amen? He was an awesome witness for Christ who put God before everything. And he was most famous for, I think, was for leading Mickey Mantle to Christ in his last days when he was sick in the hospital. And so God bless Bobby and many others like him in professional sports, amen, for being a witness for Jesus Christ in whatever they do. And so the story goes with Bobby was that it was the seventh game of the 1962 World Series between the New York Yankees and the San Francisco Giants. And the Giants had a man on second base, which put him near New York Yankee all-star second baseman Bobby Richardson. And so when the Yankees decided to pause the game and change out their pitchers, Richardson, who was a very strong witness for Christ, he sees that moment as an opportunity to spread the gospel. And so while the new pitcher was warming up, Richardson walked over to the man from the other team on second base. And he asked him if he knew Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. And in the seventh game of the World Series, right? Right in the middle of the game. And when the base runner, when that guy he talked to, when he reached home and went to the dugout, he asked his fellow teammate, Felipe Alou, who was also a Christian, a strong Christian, he said, "What in the world is going on with Richard?" He said, he yelled out, "How can you people talk about Jesus in the seventh game of the World Series?" Right? And Felipe told him, he said, "You know, there's something more important than a baseball game, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ, even in the seventh game of the World Series." Amen? So I thought that was a great story for witnessing. And, you know, Peter and John, they were so moved by the gospel that they were willing to suffer persecution. They threatened him with beatings. They were willing to suffer all this for the name of Jesus, and they would boldly proclaim the name of Jesus, and they would say, "We cannot help but speak the things which we have seen and heard," right? Regardless of the persecution. So last week's message ended with a strong witness of salvation that the rulers and the elders didn't really want to hear, right? They didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to hear it because it was going to mess with their status quo, we said. But it was a message that they needed to hear. And it's a message that we all need to hear today. And so last week's text ended with a quote from Psalms 118 that said, "Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone." Very famous and very powerful verse, amen? These so-called leaders of the people, they knew the Old Testament scriptures, right? They knew. And even though a lot of them ignored or misunderstood the meaning of the words, they knew the scriptures. So when Peter would recite these scriptures, they knew what he was talking about. And they would feel, this time they would feel the conviction. They would feel the conviction of its words spoken by Peter, and they didn't like that. They didn't like that at all. The witness of Peter was disrupting their way of life, right? They liked that status that they had, right? They liked being the big man on campus, right? That was their status. But Peter wasn't done. And with no fear, he would tell them, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." Amen. Peter did not mince any words. He didn't sugarcoat his message for anybody, even these people who had persecuted him. He said, "There's no other way to be saved." And how is that so contrary to today, right? To today, to today's age and our time in history right now. Amen? Coexist, right? That's what most of the world wants to do. They want to coexist. Amen? And today's age has a radical, almost expected tolerance for pluralism, right? Everybody's got their own way, amen? Most of the culture does not want to hear that one way is right and everything else is wrong, unless you're following Jesus, right? Amen? People don't want to hear that, amen? And they want to coexist. They want to coexist. But we should also be happy that we live in an age of tolerance, okay? Because at least here in this country, it gives us the freedom to preach the gospel, right? To whoever wants to hear it. That's why we're here today, amen? It gives us that freedom. So it's got its good and it's got its bad, amen? But we have to understand the difference between having the right to say whatever you want and saying what is right. Saying what is right. And we must be sure that we are right. And when we proclaim the word of God from the Bible, if we're saying it's from God, then we have to make sure it's from God. Amen? It doesn't go against God's word. And that's how we know when what we're saying is right, when it's coming from God's word. Okay? And when the people we're witnessing to, when they know the truth, like these leaders did, and they hear the truth, as these rulers did, a lot of times, they're still going to deny it. They're still going to deny it and say, isn't there some way that I can save myself? Right? A lot of people out there just want to save themselves, right? And isn't that what a lot of these false religions do? Right? They create ways that we can earn our way to heaven. Right? They create ways that we can earn our way to heaven. And I was going to use some examples, but I'll let that go. You know? No, I wasn't. I was thinking about you, though, Cody. Thinking, you know, people think, who needs Jesus when we can save ourselves? Right? Who needs Jesus when we can save ourselves? But didn't Paul confirm in Ephesians that salvation is a free gift from God? Right? Salvation is a free gift, not by works, so that none can boast. It's a free gift. You figured everybody wanted it, right? It's a free gift from God. When I first understood that verse, not heard it, but understood it, I was like, wow, you know, it's a free gift, not only because God loves us, right? But so that we can't corrupt it. Amen? So that we can't corrupt that free gift. You know, you can't buy it. You can't sell it. It's a free gift of God. And if we're going to be made right with God, only Jesus can bridge that gap. Amen? Bridge that gap that was caused by our sin. Only Jesus. We can't buy that. It's a free gift. And Jesus said it himself, right? He's the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father but through him. Amen? Amen? He didn't mince any words either, right? And Jesus said this because he loves us, right? Because he loves us. And Jesus came because God loves us, right? Because God loves us. None of us deserve it, but God loves us anyways. Amen. Praise God for that. But God, I love that, but God. You know, there are going to be many false religions and many false prophets, but in the end, guess what? God's word endures forever. Amen? Only God's word and God's people will endure forever, and not the false religions. And so Peter would say courageously what the Bible teaches. He said, salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Loud and clear, he told them. He wasn't afraid of persecution. He wasn't afraid of anybody. He was going to witness the gospel of Jesus Christ and tell him God's word. Amen? And so our first verse says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. So I'm going to break that down. They said, we arrested these men, right? We put them in jail. We threatened them. We warned them. It's probably giving some flashbacks of another time, right? When they had Jesus, right? When Jesus was going through the same thing. Amen? And Jesus wouldn't deny himself either. Amen? So they said, no matter what we throw at them, they continue to stand for the name of Jesus Christ. No matter how we threaten them, they continue to stand for the name of Jesus Christ. And the second thing they saw was that they said, these men are unschooled. Where are they getting this wisdom at? They're unschooled, ordinary men. They're fishermen. They knew they were fishermen, right? So yeah, for the most part, they were unschooled, but I wouldn't say that they were uneducated, okay? They may have been unschooled in a certain sense, but not uneducated. They hadn't been to the rabbinical schools of theology, like the rabbis and the teachers of their time. But, you know, uneducated, I don't think so. Because these men, although they were fishermen, they knew God's word. They educated themselves, amen? They had studied God's word. Peter was quoting scriptures from memory, right? They knew God's word. They were using God's word to proclaim the message, right? So they were being led by the Holy Spirit, but God's word was already written on their hearts. They already knew God's word as they were being led by the Holy Spirit. It also says that they took note that they had been with Jesus. They knew that they had been with Jesus, right? And they knew that the wisdom these men were speaking with, they got from the greatest rabbi they ever heard teach in the synagogue, right? The greatest one they ever heard. And so it's the same for today. Amen. It's the same thing today. To be effectively used by God, we have to know the Bible and we have to be close to Jesus. We have to do both, right? And stay close to our Savior Jesus Christ. But are those two things more important than having the education? Are being close to Jesus and knowing His Word, is it more important than going to seminary, right? Well, I wouldn't say it's more important, okay? But it worked for Peter and John, right? It worked for Peter and John, and it would work for many people, many, many times through history for some very famous preachers. Amen. Here's a few of them right here. Charles Spurgeon, D.L. Moody, William Carey, John Wesley, and Jonathan Edwards. Amen. So it would work, right? All these men were used by God to reach many lives for Christ. None of them had a formal theological education, but they had the Holy Spirit, and they knew God's word, and they would lead thousands, maybe millions to Christ. Amen. Now, it doesn't mean it's bad to have the education. As a matter of fact, it's probably better if you have the best of both worlds, right? The education, and you know God's word, and you're living in Christ Jesus. But some of these greats did have a formal theological education. Some of those were in the Bible. We had Daniel and Paul, right? They were going to be rabbis, amen? We had Martin Luther, Billy Graham, Tony Evans, John MacArthur, right? So the point is that it's wrong to think that a formal education is the only qualification to be used by God. God has a plan for all of us. All of us have a job to do in mission for Christ, amen? Each and every one of us. But it's also wrong to think that the education disqualifies you, okay? Education, the important thing to remember is that we must know God's word, live in the truth. And if you have the education, praise God. Amen? There are people who know the Word of God, and then there are people who know the God of the Word. And we're called to do both. Know God and know the God of the Word. Amen? Verse 14 says, "But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say." There was the evidence, right? "So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together." What are we going to do with these men, they said. What are we going to do with these men? Everyone in Jerusalem knows they have performed a notable sign and we can't deny it. What are we going to do? "But to stop this thing from spreading any further," they said, "among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in His name." Let's think about this, right? They saw miracles performed, right? They saw people being healed. And here God's words are being played out. The words they knew, right? God's word was being played out right before their eyes. And they still wanted to deny it. They still wanted to stop it. You'd think that they would want to profess the gospel and proclaim the truth of their Messiah, right? their Messiah. But no, their plan was to stop them, shut them up, and prevent them from spreading the gospel. They would even threaten them. They would say, "Speak no more to anyone in Jesus' name." Sounds kind of familiar today too sometimes, huh? This wasn't just the high priest counseling them though, okay? It wasn't just the high priest. This was the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin were the governing council of Jerusalem. Sort of like our Supreme Court, okay? This is sort of like our Supreme Court they're going up against, okay? And even though Israel was living under Roman occupation, they allowed the Sanhedrin to judge the people because it was easier for them, amen? And the people respected them, and the people listened to what they said. So it wouldn't have been abnormal for Peter and John to say, "Yes, sir, whatever you say, sir, we're going to follow your rules," right? Because this is the Supreme Court, right? It would have been very easy for them. And but, you know, because the Jewish people respected them. So, but that's not what they say. And in verse 19, it says, "But Peter and John replied to them." This is some wisdom from Jesus Christ that they're speaking. Amen. "Which is right in God's eyes," they said, "to listen to you or to him? You be the judges," he said. "You be the judges of what's right. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." Right? No fear. Amen? No fear and no fluff. I believe these are the two most important verses in today's text. They're important to know and understand because Peter and John are saying to the Sanhedrin a blanketed principle for all believers. Amen? And what it means is that whenever an authority structure of man seeks to contradict or subvert the Word of God, amen, that's been given through His Word, we are free to say no thank you. Amen. If it goes against God's Word, we are free to say no thank you. I answer to a higher court. My court's in heaven. It's higher than your Supreme Court. It's higher than your Sanhedrin. Amen. Amen. John Stott wrote, he said, "Peter would prepare the church not simply to endure the persecution, but to find in persecution an opportunity for witness." Right? So not only were they enduring the persecution, but they were using that to spread God's word even farther. Amen? To spread the gospel. This is referred to today as civil disobedience. Civil disobedience, right? Amen? I'm sure a lot of us have experienced it and professed it and lived with it, right? Lived through it. The world may look at this as a rebellion, but the truth is that we're just being obedient to God. We're being obedient to God. Because when man's law tries to subvert God's law, we have the right to say no. And there's so many examples of that, right? We answer to a higher authority. Now, although it should be commonplace, right? A lot of Christians, it's not. A lot of Christians refer to Romans 13, where it says, "Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities," right? That's God's word, right? "For there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God." And then he goes on to say, if we rebel against the authorities of the land, we're rebelling against God, and we're going to bring judgment upon ourselves. That scares a lot of people, amen? We're supposed to follow the law, right? We're supposed to follow the law. I guess maybe people are afraid to go to jail, right? Amen? I was afraid yesterday, and I was just preaching in jail. But they let me back out, though, Cody. That's the good part. They let me back out. But if we're to live our lives for Christ, there should be no compromise. That's the point. Amen? There should be no compromise when it comes to the truth, when it comes to God's word. And yes, we as Christians are called to be law-abiding citizens. Of course we are. But if any authority comes along and attempts to get us to do something against God's word, we must respectfully refuse it. Respectfully say, "I can't do that." Amen? Peter and John would respectfully refuse to be quiet about Jesus' commands. About Jesus' commandments. They said to them that they said to him, this is what we're going to do. And you decide. You go ahead and decide for yourselves whether or not, you know, it's legal, whatever you want to decide. Amen? Because they couldn't deny it. They couldn't deny what they heard. They couldn't deny what they seen. They couldn't deny what they lived. They were going to profess Jesus Christ. So we have a commandment, amen, that trumps any law in this land, and it's to proclaim his name. Laws are going to change. Laws are going to be amended, but God's word never changes. God's word never changes. And like the Great Commission, and that's the Great Commission, amen? And like the song says, we won't be quiet, right? We won't be quiet. And if the law of the land says we need to be quiet or quit being in the church, then we will have to make a decision in our lives. We'll have to make a decision. And that decision is that are we going to obey God or are we going to obey the governing body, the Sanhedrin, right? Who are we going to obey? God, amen? And this test, if you will, was presented to us as a church at Amazing Grace during the start of the pandemic. This test was presented. Remember, the government came along and said, all right, we're going to shut everything down for 2 weeks, right? Get all the toilet paper you can get. Get all the frozen pizzas and eggs you can get. Those are all the things that they ran out of, I remember. Huh? Water. Ran out of water, ran out of eggs, ran out of all that stuff, right? Government came along and said, we're going to shut everything down, including the church. We're going to shut everybody in. Get all your supplies ready. We're going to shelter in place. That's what they called it, right? Shelter in place. Well, that 2 weeks would turn into like 2 years. Amen? It would turn into a long time. And a lot of people would be working from home. We were all wearing masks, most of us anyways. And they were trying to get everyone to take the jab, to get the vaccine. They were trying to get everyone to do it. Amen? And right or wrong, they were forcing people. They were trying to mandate people to do things. Amen? And not meeting in God's house was one of the things they were trying to mandate. So, here at Amazing Grace, we started to feel the pressure because we stayed open for some time. We started to feel the pressure as pastors, and we would follow suit. We would shut our church down, right, Pastor? And our in-person services were shut down for about 4 weeks. So it was a horrible experience of preaching to an empty church, of all of our congregation having to be isolated at home, away from each other. And it got old real quick. And we would defiantly go back to holding services. We said, well, I think we got less than, well, what was the limit? It was 50 people, right? If you got 50 people or more meeting in a church, then it's against the law. You can't meet in your church, what they told us. So I said, I think we'll just spread it out between a couple services. We'll be okay, right? So we went back, mask optional, okay? And there were a lot of believers at this time who struggled with the mandates, right? They would be like, you know, we're Christians. We're called to be obedient, right? We got to follow the law. So there was a lot of, it was just, you know, a lot of Christians would remember what it said in Romans 13, right? That you know, what we talked about, right? We got to follow the law of the land because they're God's appointed people, right? But we here, as the pastors of Amazing Grace, we were remembering Romans chapter 10 that says, verses 24 and 25, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards loving good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Right? We were seeing the day approaching for a lot of people. 2020, 3 million people lost their lives from COVID, right? We didn't know what was going to happen. We'd never been through this before. Was this the end of the world? Almost 3 million people, and they wanted us to stop worshiping. They wanted us to stop praying for each other in person. They wanted us to stay home. How is that encouraging each other as it says in Romans. The point is, this became a real division point in the church. Pastor Rick and all the pastors got a lot of flack for staying open during COVID. A moment of uncertainty. But isn't the time of uncertainty the best time to be in God's house? Right? The best time to be in God's house. And so we stuck to God's word and fortunately, had no serious sicknesses or death resulting from COVID in our church, but we met as a church and we continued to meet as a church. You know, a lot of churches closed. A lot of churches never reopened. Never reopened. And a lot of churches would never recover from their absence and close soon after. But God is good, and a revival would follow soon after, right? And we've been living in that revival. And I think we're a stronger church today than we were before COVID because of it. We're living in that revival. Amen? And God is good. Verse 21 says, after further threats, they let them go. But God, right? They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. They were afraid of the people, right? You see, God honored and protected them for doing what was right in God's eyes, for doing what was right. And the leaders would respond to public opinion, though, right? Only to show that these leaders cared more about what man thought than God's word, right? They weren't respecting God's word. They were afraid of the people because the people were praising God. Okay, that's why they'd let them go. And so it is today in most of our government offices and opinions. But we must continue to pray, right? Because God's word should be above everything. Continue to pray and continue to vote. Amen? Always staying true to God's word. Always staying true to God's word. And verse 22 says, for the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. And Johns Gills had an exposition on this. He said, for the man was above 40 years old, so that the miracle was greater than a man born lame and had been so above 40 years, should have a cure. And he was the more known to the people, and his testimony met with more credit. So in other words, he was all his life, he was disabled, right? All his life, he was crippled. So this should have meant so much more to them. This miracle meant so much more because of that. And it says, on whom this miracle of healing was showed, both for the good of men and for the glory of God and for the confirmation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? So the point of today's sermon is that whatever we do as Christians, whether we're witnessing, being persecuted, or defying the law of the land, everything we do should be done to bring glory to God. That's what it's about. Amen? These healings that Jesus did, all these healings that the apostles did, it was to bring glory to God. Right? It was great that people were being healed, but the reason for it was to bring glory to God. And, we're called to bring glory to God and to confirm the gospel of Jesus Christ and be unashamed in it and unshaken by anybody that tries to prevent us from doing that. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this message. And we just ask that you continue to give us the courage, continue to give us the spirit and the hope, Lord, to spread your word, to spread the gospel in everything we do, Lord, with no fear. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for using each and every one of us, whether we're educated, uneducated, whatever that may be, Lord, that you instill wisdom in us, Lord, and use us all in a mighty way, Father God, because the dark is getting darker, Lord, but we know that we can be the light that conquers all darkness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.